I have so many ideas in my head, and so sometimes I think my art is all over the place. I paint with the colors you described. I paint in black and white. I paint in bold colors. I don't have enough time to do everything that I want to do in the studio. There are just so many ideas floating around. And I don't always know where the paint's going to lead me. I oftentimes have a great idea in my mind as I start. Sometimes the final product reflects those ideas, and sometimes it takes me in a totally different direction.
Greetings and hallelujah from Columbia, Maryland, where we are recording Razzle Dazzle Radio, a show brought to you by Howard Community College. I'm Carolyn Kellerman, and I'm here with my co-host, Judy Templeton. Now, we all know that Women's Celebration Month is past, but it's spilled over until now because we have two of Howard County's most celebrated artists right here on our show today. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it to Judy to introduce Lee Anderson and Diana Ullman. Welcome, everybody.
Yes, welcome. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have both rock stars here, rock stars of the art, rock star women, rock star success, inspiration. You both have done so much. I actually think, Carolyn, that we're in the midst of at least 10 guests because each of these women surely don't live one life. I think they live a couple in one because they have just accomplished so much. So, Lee, you are just the most special, unique, a maverick, creative soul I've probably ever known. So I'll just start by saying that you're a fashion designer, that you are a art museum director, founder of Manic Art. You do art clothing. You are in charge of fantasy wood. And if you don't know what that is, listen in because you're all going to find out. And of course, Doodle Hatch. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with you. So let's hone in to that. You finally were celebrated at the Howie Awards this year. And it was wonderful to see you get that award. Let's just talk about that for a minute. So, how did you feel when you finally got an award that you certainly deserve?
It was a total surprise. I didn't expect it at all. And it was such an honor. And I was so delighted. And as a result of my own pleasure from receiving that award, my husband and I, Al, are doing a $5,000 award through the Howard County Arts Council for a visual artist every year. And we will be funding that in the as a Lee Anderson Award.
See, I forgot to say your other title, a philanthropist as well. So that's just beautiful, Lee. It really, really is. So I guess we want to find out, how did you live your life of what appears to be living your dreams? How did this all begin for you?
My mum was very creative. I was one of six children. We didn't have a lot of money. So she would just do art with us and cut up curtains to make clothes and taught me how to knit. And she was just a wonderful inspiration. And I dedicated my first of five books to her. And in the title, it says, when she was interviewed, she said, "Oh, I used to tell her no all the time, but she just didn't listen." Yeah.
All right, so you were already inspired into the arts. So how did you get into fashion design?
My mum was a knitter. And she had her own little business. She would knit individual little sweaters for children, and even twins, she would refuse to do two the same. So she just created right on the needles, and she didn't draw at all and had no art training at all. But she knitted these beautiful sweaters, and some of them are in the Te Papa Museum in New Zealand, in Wellington, in New Zealand, along with my own mohair coats and things that we produced in the 1980s in New Zealand. And I was based in Wellington, and the Te Papa Museum is in Wellington. And I recently got to take my grandson there, who crochets, for a photograph in front of the big glass display there. That was
Oh,
really charming.
wow, what an honor. So tell us, what is Manic Art?
Manic Art, I founded in 2013 with my husband, Al Skolnick. The mission of Manic Art, manic crazy, manic mannequin, is to inspire creativity. and specifically in the form of sculpture on the human form. And then there was an educational component and that sort of thing. So the major mission was simply to inspire creativity. So Manic Art has become the mother of five different children. And so the mission of inspiring creativity follows through all of those. They're all about community, community art, sharing. And my personal mission is to bring joy. So that is also embodied in the Manic Art nonprofit.
You have accomplished that for sure. Carolyn?
Carolyn here wearing a gorgeous purple lacy top that I got at your store. And I wore this one day and someone asked me, where did you get that? In a department store where they were carrying your clothes. I said, don't go there. Go to your actual warehouse store, which is in Columbia, Maryland, at the Long Reach Shopping Center. And I think she went and bought some stuff. So we appreciate your art.
Wherever women go in your art, everybody knows where it came from. I mean, it is such a distinct brand that you have created, Lee. I mean, it truly, truly is. And so to the point of the Manic Art too. So if you have been out and about and you have seen mannequins dressed in very wild and colorful imagery, you can count on that's what Manic Art is. And it's all over the place. I know that you've had display. Is your display still at the Columbia Mall? I think there was one that was standing for a while, right?
We do that only once a year, generally in September or October, whenever the mall is available, with the space outside Nordstrom is available. But the works are permanently here at Doodle Hatch. So we have wooden dresses and metal dresses and crazy, beautiful paper collage things. So come to Doodle Hatch, which is at the Long Reach Village Center, and you can get up very close to them. They do have a little rope in front of them, but that's close so that you can touch them. You just touch them gently. Thank you. And children do. We encourage them to come and touch too, because Doodle Hatch is an interactive art museum created by 42 different artists.
Well, thank you for giving me the segue into that, because Doodle Hatch, we can attempt to explain it, but you must see it. You absolutely must. Now, I know that this creation came around the pandemic time. So how does one create something as vast as Doodle Hatch? And do try to explain it to us, Lee.
Well, Doodle Hatch is, as I said, an interactive art museum, and we have about 300 people every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Half of them are children and the other half are adults, because the children don't drive. Yeah. So Doodle Hatch, as you walk in the door, it has a stargate and a robot that welcomes you into, you know, greeting your galactic tourists who are going to come and stay with you. And then as you come through, there's 72 rules, because we have to cover things like vampires and werewolves and unicorns and things like that, as well as humans. So we do charge $10 a human, and the others we charge 10 cents an inch of height.
I'll have to decide which one works best for me.
Yeah. But if you crawl in and you say, well, I'm only like, you know, $2, you have to stay crawling the entire time you're in Doodle Hatch. So we don't advise it. Anyway, as you come in, we have a grooming salon for unicorns. We have hobbit houses. We have lots of free books that we give away. We have witches, cauldrons. We have a stage. We have costuming. We have vampire coffins. We have a giant bed that the children love to jump on. And then we have two new installations that are just opening. One is called Graffiti Grotto, and that's meant for 11 to 13-year-old, you know, young teens that want to just listen to music and sit there. And it has sparkly lights in the ceiling and black light and wonderful, inspiring graffiti on the walls, and very three-dimensional and a lot of papier-mâché. The second installation opening is called Cozy Corner, and that's my installation, and that's all knitted and crocheted and from things that people have donated plus my work, and it has hammocks in it for the children to just lay about and read a book or snooze or just relax. And it's a nice environment for children who maybe are on the spectrum and need to decompress into a soft, quiet, cozy atmosphere.
Yep, you have definitely included it all. I have to say that my personal favorite is that giant bed, and not just children jump on it. I did too. That is just so much fun. I took my grandchildren there pretty much right after you opened it up. And so everybody knows how big it is. It took over the old Safeway in Longreach. So it is an enormous amount of space. And it is just a creative collective, as Lee said, of so many things to include. As Carolyn said, if you want to go get that special something for a special event, then you can shop there on the side and purchase her clothes as well. So it's all right there. It's just amazing. So what about Fantasywood? I don't want to leave our interview. Tell us about, you know, how that got started and if it's going to continue.
The outdoor festival was called Fantasywood, and we started that in 2019. We've had trouble getting parking for 1,000 people in a wooded environment. So we're doing Doodle Hatch Festival, which is all indoors this year. And that is at the end of May. It is May 25, 26, and 27. And that is Saturday, Sunday, and Memorial Monday. So we're taking over the other half of the supermarket as well for that festival. So we have, you know, air conditioning, heating, and bathrooms and all that sort of thing. And it's going to be about 40,000 square feet of interactive activities, giant slides, sword fighting, puppet shows, fairy godmothers reading stories and giving books away, fairy princesses, vampires biting you if you want to be bitten, you know, just with a giant sparkly coffin. And then we have potions. We have a wizard that is actually the wizard from our new television show, which you don't know about yet.
And I want you to tell us.
Yes. So the wizard will be teaching potion making to the children, and then they get to drink it if they want to. No alcohol. Anyway, so that festival opens on the 25th, Saturday, which is Memorial Weekend. It is ticketed, and we have discounted tickets for early purchasing. So if you want to go onto the Doodle Hatch Festival website, doodlehatchfestival.com, you can do an early purchase at $15. On the day, it's $20. So please do, yeah, just pop in. And we'll be starting a pretty strong marketing campaign through tourism, things like that, fairly shortly.
So because you didn't have enough to do, then you created a television show too. So yes, do tell us.
Okay. And also in between that, I think most Howard County people know I have colon cancer. I'm stage 4. So I'm statistically dead, but I look quite good. So at the Fantasy Festival, at the Doodle Hatch Festival, we're going to have a zombie boutique, and our zombies will be selling body parts. But they won't deliver them. They just take orders. And they'll have glue so that they can paint your skin and then dye you green if you want to be a zombie. So it'll be really fun. Anyway, so once I got the diagnosis that I had 6 months to live, that was an inspiration to do more rather than less, as it turned out. So I'm graduating with my MFA from MICA on May 13th. Gert, who is part of Doodle Hatch, part of the TV show, he's an intergalactic exchange student. And so he did the thesis and I was just his assistant. And he did sign a lot of autographs at the MICA, the opening of my installation. He's left-tentacled, as it turns out, we didn't know, and he is vegetarian. But on the television show, we have Grandma Ma Ma Ma. I replaced myself with Brunhilde Bruni Herring. I said I need somebody with brown skin, bilingual, Spanish-English, and old enough to be a grandma. So Bruni answered an hour later, and she happens to also be a Helen Hayes acting nominee and a dean of a high school.
Wow.
So she is the host, the official host of the Doodle Hatch show, which is for grade 1 to grade 5. And we teach, it's not launched yet. This is just letting you know this is coming. We teach math, science, reading, emotional health, physical health, art, craft. And we have a live animal. We have a musician. We have dancer on every show. So it's edutainment. It's not supposed to be difficult for the children to watch. It's supposed to be really fun. And because it's streaming, they can stop and go get a piece of paper or get the baking soda or whatever the wizard The Wizard teaches science. So it's simple science, simple sorcery for students. So again, and he has a wonderful wizard costume and a lovely backdrop. Math is taught by a puppet, Lily LeFay, and Lily's about 3 feet tall. Her voice and animation is being done by a six-year-old who's also called Lily, and wow. She is teaching math to D-O-G, doggy, like D-O-G, doggy. His reading is quite good, but his math needs a bit of work, so he's learning to write his numbers and things like that. Yeah. The television show has got a whole team of fabulous people, Kevin Hashimoto and Justin Nepomuceno, and then all these other people that we're shooting in 4K, if you know what that means. So it's very high definition, even though it's meant for streaming. And Maryland Public Television has seen the opening and really liked it. And if they like the pilot, they would offer to share it with PBS, which has 140 million followers. But we may just drop some down on YouTube free for a while. And my husband and I are funding it as part of my, I said to him, I'm dying, I need money. and he said, well, blah, blah, dollar amount, which was 10 times what I was hoping for.
I should mention you're also an actress.
Yeah. So now we have the funding for the television shows and backup funding for any other projects. I'm going to start doing giant metal sculptures and all sorts of stuff. So my life is fabulous. I don't know how long it will be, but I am joyful and grateful, and thank you for inviting me on the show.
And Lee, inspiration to all of us. You, like I said, I think that you're like five people in one. So you, even if one of them leaves, you got many more. Your legacy will go on. And we so love and honor you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we know that you have to go on.
Yeah, just want to thank you personally for having your mannequins at an AIDS benefit that I produced. And I really appreciated the beauty of it coming onto the stage at Howard Community College. So thank you.
Thanks again, Lee, so much. Wow, well, catch your breath, but you're going to lose it again when you meet and talk to Diana Ullman. And Diana is such a special soul. I have been honored to know her for my whole time here in Columbia, and honored to have taught her sons and her in an exercise class. And that's actually how we met. But she is an amazing artist. She is a designer. She is a philanthropist. And I can't wait for you to hear how she's combined all of that. She's a mother, a grandmother, and a mother of even a former county executive. Can we add that in too? She's lived many lives into one. And I'm just thrilled that you're joining us today, Diana, to talk about the well-deserved award that you got at the Visionary Women Speak Up and Speak Out for your collage of musings and drawings. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Judy. And yes, we go way back, from exercise class to creative dance for my boys who were like 3 years old at the time.
Exactly. So talk about the piece that won you a well-deserved award, and then we'll talk about some of your other art.
Thank you so much. I was so humbled that the show that the Columbia Arts Center put together was inspirational. It was so varied, and there were so many wonderful pieces. The piece that I did was a combination of my painting, my love of painting faces, my musings and drawings, which I created during the pandemic. I started a journal, and every day I did a musing and drawing, at least one. I now have over 1,000 of them. And I was speaking up and speaking out. Some were very mundane, and some were very political. And so when I heard the subject of this show, it occurred to me to combine my painting and these musings that I had been creating all for the last 3 years. Thus, the collage came to be.
And so I also got to see those musings at Busboys and Poets for a time that you were exhibiting them there. And so to the point on this show that we talk about that the arts are so important in all of our lives, we talk about them as healing and venues for social justice. And that's how I would describe your musings for sure, too. So I got the opportunity to even see more of them at your lovely apartment the other day. And some of them, as you describe, are light and airy, but some of them go right straight to the heart and through. So they're just fabulous. But your other art has a whole nother feel to it. And I just have always loved that. I, for some reason, think of lots of your exhibits that I saw early on in Sherbert colors and soothing and lovely and calming. How would you describe them?
Well, thank you. I have so many ideas in my head. And so sometimes I think my art is all over the place. I paint with the colors you described. I paint in black and white. I paint in bold colors. I don't have enough time to do everything that I want to do in the studio. There's just so many ideas floating around. And I don't always know where the paint's going to lead me. I oftentimes have a great idea in my mind as I start. Sometimes the final product reflects those ideas, and sometimes it takes me in a totally different direction, and it's quite an evolution. And that's kind of the exciting part for me. I'm never quite sure what the final product
is. What journey you're going on. I have heard that from many artists, for sure. And that's just that beautiful creative urge that burns inside of you, that flows out, takes you somewhere. And so you have created something amazing. And so Lee spoke about her cancer. And so your family was infected, now affected by cancer. And so you all did something towards helping others. So do you want to talk about that and how you have created this amazing center down in the city to help people that are getting cancer treatment? Take us back to where that began.
In 1996, our son Doug was diagnosed with cancer. He was starting his sophomore year in college. He's doing great now. I want to say that really quickly because people are going to be wondering as soon as they hear that. He's 47. He called me one day and said, I think we should be able to do something to help people with cancer. He was a young adult, and we could find no support for young adults with cancer. Mm. So we started what was then called the Ullman Cancer Fund for Young Adults. We are now in our 27th year of operation. We started around the dining room table with a handful of people as an all-volunteer organization. 27 years later, we have a team of 18 staff members. We have social workers who are embedded in cancer centers throughout the region. We have social workers who work with people virtually all over the country, fitness programs for young adults with cancer, art programs, support groups, and we help people wherever they are in their process, to whether they need to get a second opinion or fertility preservation or need insurance issues resolved. We're able to help them in so many different ways. 5 years ago, we opened Ullman House in downtown Baltimore, where young adults can stay with their caregivers while they're in treatment in the region. Sometimes their caregivers are there while they are inpatient. And we have had people from, I think, 28 states stay with us. Many local people, but many people throughout the country. Some people come for several nights and they are there for consults. Some people have stayed, I think our longest stay was over 200 days. So some people come for a few months and then go home and come back if need be. As far as we know, we're the first healthcare hospitality house for young adults with cancer. So
it's quite something. And you also, they did an interview, I believe, on WBAL that I had got to see, which was really showed me the depth of this. And this is you, Diana, creating a healing environment for them as well. And that is what you've done with your art and your designing, So you've helped to design it. I mean, it's a beautiful place for healing, and that's part of the process.
It's been a joy to work on this project. We took six dilapidated row homes that were adjacent. We gutted them and saved the front facade and built a 12,000 square foot facility with a fitness center and game rooms and work areas and nine family suites and a large communal kitchen and so forth. So wearing my interior design hat, I did a lot of the interior work for the house. And wearing my artist hat, I was able to showcase a lot of my art because we needed artwork for the walls. And so it's been a combination of bringing a lot of different facets of what I do together.
Yeah, and I love that integration of the arts as you put it all together, for sure. So what can we do? What can anyone do to help the cause and to keep this going?
Wow. Well, thank you for asking that question. We have volunteers come to the house for many different projects. Tomorrow, we have 17 people coming from an organization to plant new plants in our backyard. We have groups come in and cook dinner several nights a week. So there's lots of ways, if you're handy and we have maintenance lists going, there are lots of ways people can help us. We're always fundraising because all of our services are free to the clients. So we never turn away donations. We have our annual Blue Jeans and Bowtie Ball coming up June 8th. It's a fun party, but its mission certainly is to raise funds to support our services. So come on out and join the party.
Tell us the website. I imagine that we can get a clearinghouse information on all that you've just told us about as well. So what's the website?
It's ullmanfoundation.org.
And spell Ullman with one L, U-L-M-A-N.
Correct.
Yes, ullmanfoundation.org. Please check it out. I know that you're going to want to definitely help to support this amazing mission. Diana, this you're, like I say, you're a couple people, and I know you're not stopping, and you're probably going to be a couple more. And I so appreciate all that you have contributed to Columbia and now to my precious Baltimore, my birthplace. I'm definitely inspired to do some work to help with that as well. So thank you so much for being here, and we're running out of time. So thank you, Dragon Podcast and Howard Community College, for your continued partnership. Don't forget to check out our previous episodes at Razzle Dazzle with Carolyn and Judy. You can find us on Podbeam and Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. So until next time, this is Judy Templeton and my co-host, Carolyn Kellerman. It's Razzle Dazzle Radio.